You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practice Show. My name is Kirk Barron, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And have you been thinking, like, this pandemic thing, it's over? Or maybe it's not over? Or maybe is it over? I don't even know. Well, if you're kind of thinking like that, then I've got the perfect show for you today. I've got a good friend of mine, Kevin Quishan, on today, and we're going to be talking about, it's not post-COVID, it's peri-COVID, if you can get your brain around that. So you don't want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You're going to absolutely love this. Now, a couple of things I always want to say before we get started. Some of you have shown up from the COVID conference and you're like, what the heck? Is this a podcast? What's the deal here? Here's what I want you to do. If you're listening right now, I know this is absolutely true. You guys don't watch video anymore. Every one of you is listening in audio. Well, not every one of you, a lot of you. And I love it that you guys are listening to audio. But here's what I want you to do. If you're listening on Spotify or Stitcher or iTunes, wherever you're listening to, do us a favor. Hit that little subscribe button. See that right there? Just click it. Because I want you to show up with us every single week. You're going to see every single week, we're going to bring a brand new expert who's going to bring you some best practices to help you create a better practice and a better life. And I don't want you to miss out. So make sure you do that. Number two, if you're wondering what the heck do these guys do, Kevin and myself are both coaches. So if you're thinking, gosh, I own my own practice, but I don't really enjoy it as much anymore. Or like I got two people at the front. They're fighting at the front. Like, I don't even think they like each other. Or you know what? I'm participating with Delta Dental, and I'm writing off like 35% a year or more. And I don't want to do that anymore. That's what both of us do. Or if you're thinking, gosh, I just want to make a little bit more money and not work so hard. Or I don't want to work evenings or Saturdays or whatever. Stop doing that. Get a good coach. Don't try to figure this stuff out. Now, here's the other challenge. I want to say this out loud. If you're a dentist, you don't have time to think about any of this. You're too busy doing dentistry. You're too busy trying to figure out things day to day. You don't have the bandwidth to read books, take all these courses and try to figure it. There are people that have figured this out before. And you know what their names are? They're called coaches. So reach out, get some good coaching, because great coaching creates great results. And so make sure you check that out either with us or with Kevin. You're going to see your great hands either way. So Kevin, I want to introduce you. You've been a friend of mine for a long time.
Yeah.
Now we have seen each other in passing. I've watched you have a great career and ascend on the whole CE situation. And now you're out speaking, you're doing your own thing, but I want people to know, if they don't know who you are, like, who the heck are you? What do you do? Where do you live? Like, give us a little background.
Started when I was three, Kirk. And no, I'm kidding. I actually, interestingly, right before the pandemic, I moved up to Seattle. And it's back up home to the Pacific Northwest, where I spent most of my dental career. My kids grew up in Portland. They both graduated from high school in Portland, even though they were both born in Reno, Nevada. they pretty much call Portland their home. And so I had a dental practice in Reno for years, and then to Portland for years. And I always loved academia. And I think that was because when I learned from Frank up here back in the early 2000s up here in Seattle, and then when I went to Panky, my life changed quite a bit. And I guess what I would, you know, to give you the long answer for your question, when I really started integrating it into my practice, I started doing what I learned with Frank and at Panky, and actually with some courses with John Coyce and study clubs about appliance therapy and Tucker Gold Study Club. And I started applying it. And people were like, wow, you know, your practice is different. I'm like, I don't know. I thought everybody just integrated it. And I mean that. I don't mean to be judgy right now, but it's like, I thought that's what you did. So anyway, long story short, people started asking me to share a little bit. So I started doing some stuff at study clubs and doing a little presenting here and there, and started teaching at the dental school at Oregon at OHSU. And I loved academia. So I thought, well, hell, you know, and that was back, you know, I'll be 52 this year. And that was back when I was 40. And I thought, you know, I'm pretty good at this, I guess. So I think I'll find an associate. I'll dedicate more time to academia. And if it sucks, I'll go back and do dentistry full time because I like it. And I thought I was pretty good at it. So sold my practice and got a master's degree in healthcare. It's like an MBA in healthcare. And one thing led to another. And I was about to start this business that I have now, coaching, consulting, facilitating, whatever you want to call it. And that was when I got asked to go to Spear Education full time. So I left Portland and went to Scottsdale, and I grew and I learned a lot as full time faculty there. And we parted ways, and it was obvious that I was going to go back and do what I was going to do before I went to Spear, and that was the business I have now. And so the reason I'm back up here in Seattle is we were done with the desert, and we love the Pacific Northwest. And Kimberly, my wife, as of less than 2 weeks ago, although we've been together for going on 7 years, but we decided to finally get married. We went up to Mount Rainier and got married up there. But anyway, we picked Seattle. It worked for her job, and I can pretty much live anywhere. And that is the shortest version of who I am and where I come from. And I do similar to you, as you know, Kirk. I work with practices and help them and their teams integrate and change and evolve in whatever way is appropriate. And it feeds my soul just like it feeds yours. I think that's that's why we get along. So that was it. I don't know. That was probably too much, but you asked and you get the answer.
Dude, I love it. I love it. And I know this about you. It's calling. It's not a job. You enjoy it. Yeah. And so it's a huge responsibility we hold pretty high. So, you know, you and I were talking before we actually hit the go button, and we were talking a lot of different threads, and you said peri-COVID, and I'm like, whoa, back up, define that. Yeah. So, and I really like that. So I want you, for our listeners, to define that term and where we are in this place in time.
Yeah, well, totally. Well, if you've been pregnant or have a partner who's been pregnant, or anybody in the world that's been pregnant, you know, we talk about prenatal vitamins, prenatal care, prenatal this. And then we've got postnatal as you're healing. And there's even, if you look at Peloton right now, they've got postnatal yoga and things like that. And of course, when you're pregnant, you are perinatal. And people always say, oh, post-COVID. And I'm like, no, there was pre-COVID. We certainly haven't hit post-COVID yet. And so we're now over a year and a half peri-COVID. And we thought we were getting to post-COVID. But we're still quite peri-COVID. And so being in it, you're in it. And I think that people thinking, oh no, we're post-COVID now. I'm like, ah, it's a different mentality. You're still in it. And what does that look like for you? And what have you, you know, when you're pregnant the first month, it feels one way and you like being pregnant. And probably when the pandemic starts, some of you liked the Netflix binging and the forced hanging out at home, and especially after you got the PPP loan and the EIDL loan. But then, you know, when you're in your seventh month of pregnancy and you're like, have I not had this kid yet? And now we're in the, I don't even know what month we're at, Kirk, 16, 17, I don't know, 18 months of being pregnant with COVID, and we're all ready to be post-COVID, but we're not, we're still peri-COVID.
Yeah, I love it. Now, we're not here to provoke any fear. I'm not one of those guys that likes fear, but I also like talking about the reality of the situation, you know, and because you and I were chatting about this, there are people in the industry who think, oh, this is all over, let's go and just, you know, act like it never existed. And I know my kids want to think that way, all that stuff. But the reality of it is we're in a different environment, not only from a dental standpoint, but from an environment for employees and leadership. Like, we've learned a lot that we're still going to be using in this whole process. And we also know that as viruses evolve, they get different. And so I think, you know, the point is this, is that we got to be on our toes for whatever. And if anything taught us about the pandemic, it's that we've got to learn, adapt, and survive. And that's a big piece of it. I'm sure you're seeing that out there in the world as you're talking to dentists.
Yeah, well, I it's interesting because, as we all know, everything gets worse with stress. You know, you're in the pressure cooker. Well, dentistry is already hard. The way we work together in the office is, even in the best of offices, dentistry is still stressful. It's a stressful environment. Patients, you know, you talk about it all the time. Patients don't love coming to see us, and we can't blame them for that. I don't want needles in my mouth and staying open and feeling like I'm going to drown all day either. Right. So it's already stressful. And so working in that environment is already stressful. And then some of the things that are just part of dentistry, which is how, you know, the team has to interact and communicate and how energy and information flows through the office. You put that in a pressure cooker with the stress of not knowing what's going on with your family, who's going to be taking care of your kids. Are the patients going to come in? Am I going to get COVID? I mean, it doesn't get any worse. So, you know, this peri-COVID time that we're in the 18th month of pregnancy, the pressure's still there. And it might even be worse because we feel like we're close to the end. And yet we still, you know, there are dentists who are still looking for associates. There are dentists who, you know, most dentists right now are looking for team members. That's the biggest stress right now across the country, right? Is, my God, how do you find a good team member right now? It's that scarcity mentality right now. So as you and I were talking about, I think you don't have to be in scarcity mentality, but how do you realize that you're in scarcity mentality? How do you manage it? And how do you move on with hope and abundance mentality versus scarcity mentality? And that's a lot of the conversations we're having lately.
Yeah, it is. And then we get to see all these things coming down the pipeline as far as information goes. And who knows what the states will require in the future with team members being vaccinated. That's the new chatter this week. It's every state is coming up with what they think should be the right thing for their states, and dental offices having to comply, and then all the issues that come with that. And I don't know if you're seeing this too, but Kevin, with all the people that we talk to, I say, you know, we got this from Christy Minaj Burney and the World Health Organization. I absolutely love it. It's a graphic in which there are things you can control and there are things that you can't control. And where's your focus all day? Because you can't control the chatter out there. You can't control whether or not you're going to have new restrictions on you, new guidelines, whatever. But there are things you can do every single day, putting your feet in front of each other. What are you seeing from some of the best out there? What, like, you talk to dentists all day. Who are some of the people that make you smile and go, this guy's got it figured out, or this gal's got it figured out for now?
Oh, that's a good question. And I also think the things you can influence or not also came from Stephen Covey's book, right? You get it a few different places, but the people that are, I guess it's what your definition of handling it and doing well is, but in my opinion, it's people that are walking in the office. As I say, they're walking from a 1 out of 10, they're walking in somewhere between an 8 and a 10. And even if they got crap going on in the morning with kids and crying kids or other things in life, maybe they walk in as a 6 or an 8. But as the day goes on, they gain energy from being there because of the people around them and the things they're doing, even in the midst of the pandemic, and they leave the office somewhere between an 8 and a 10. Mm-hmm. And these are the people who are doing things intentionally to make that happen, to even if they were a 6 on the way in, they became more like an 8 as they walked in the door because of the people they were going to be around and the things they were going to be doing. But then they didn't feel like they were going to battle all day long. They weren't in survival mode all day long. And they even felt a sense of community and connectedness when they left and hope. And they walked out as an 8. And it's these people, Kirk, that are successful right now, that they are the ones that are not living in scarcity mentality, but they're doing things intentionally to not. And they're the ones who, there's things they're doing dentally, of course, but I think it's more the bigger picture.
Right.
So what am I doing to help me and the people around me feel supported and happy? And they're the ones who are rocking it right now.
Yeah. And I'm totally picking up what you're putting down, and I'll just play devil's advocate. Just if you're listening right now and you're like, oh, Kevin, come on.
Yeah.
Like, isn't rainbows and unicorn. Like, you got to understand, I had a full bit. I had 3 columns running yesterday. I had an assistant that couldn't come in. I can't find a hygienist. So you're talking about coming in at an 8, leaving it at a 9. Come on. Now, the truth of it is that, and you, we'll unpack it just together. Don't overthink this. Like, dentistry is hard, and that's why you got to make some of these processes. But Kevin, would you agree? Like, I always call them the 2 P's. If you got predictability and you're making progress just a little bit every day, you're good. And then we might even add a third, like purpose. You feel like this work is purposeful, and it's no different for me. I start the day with a to-do list. And if I can get checks next to most of these, I'm not going to get all 100. You know what I mean? I think, well, there's not 100 on here, but some days there are. But you know how it is. If you're like, today was good. It was good. I got some stuff done. I got some good people around me. We're making a little bit of progress. Would you feel that way? I mean, what brings an 8 to you or a 9 to you?
Oh, I think I love your now that it's 3 P's, the predictability, the progress, and then the, what was your progress and purpose. Yeah, thank you. The purpose. And I've never really thought about it that way, but predictability, yes. Even if you've got 3 columns and your assistant, you know, your scenario that you set up and your assistant calls in because he or she has to stay home and take care of the kid or I don't know, probably somebody close to them had a positive COVID test, all these things right now. The predictability of knowing, you know, go back to the, I hate to talk systems right now, but I mean, there's a reason that we know that we decide how we want energy and information to flow through the office. As I say, how energy information flows through the office optimally with intention.
Yeah.
We've decided how that looks for us, so that when there's a little glitch, we still know what optimal looks like. That's predictability, but it takes work, right? Mm-hmm. And the progress, for me, it's every day. It's what is the small little shift, the tiniest thing that you can do so that you don't do exactly what you did yesterday. What's the teeniest, tiniest shift? Because that's progress, right? That's your second P. And then for me, purpose, now you say my purpose, and I think in dentistry, a lot of people's purpose is, did you feel like you were part of something special? Did you feel like you were a sense of community? And did you feel seen and heard today? And you see, I didn't say anything about a painless restoration or post-operative sensitivity. That's all in there. But yet the purpose is bigger than that for me. I still love I want optimal occlusion. I want optimal aesthetics. I want airway in there. I want nutrition in there. But for me, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that.
Yeah. And you know this more than anything. You work with some of the best dentists in the world through your work at Spear Education, and perfection is just not attainable, you know. And the great Bill Lockard used to say this to me when I was younger, and I didn't get it. until later, he's like, don't ever have a dentist seek perfection. You're looking for excellence. Perfection was God's job. You know, excellence was mine. Every once in a while, I was perfect. Wasn't my doing, you know, type of thing. And I like that framework. And I, you know, I was thinking about with when you're talking about purpose, I totally agree with what you're saying. There are people that fix teeth and there are people that change lives. And it's not the same type of practice or setting. And I'll couple it with this. I don't know if you're watching the show, but I just started watching the show, Ted Lasso. Have you watched Ted Lasso at all?
I've heard somebody just last week tells me I need to watch Ted Lasso.
Okay, so I'm in the same spot as you probably about a week ago. I've heard it 35 times. You got to watch it. You got to watch it. Now, I'm going to ask you to watch it. Now, if you're listening right now, it's such a great leadership thing because this guy's so positive and the entire world is against him. Like, and he knows nothing about the sport of soccer, but he's changing the world one person at a time. And you can tell his heart is in the game. And the reason I tell you that, Kevin, is like, when I come to work, I'm like, you know what? I got to up my game and do a little Ted Lassoing, you know, like, I watched the episode last night where he said, you know how you deal with tough cookies? You just dip them in milk.
He's the guy that went from coaching football to football. Right. Football, isn't that? Right. Yeah. I heard about it. I heard it's just who he is. Right. And so he's got to add a little milk. Just, you got a tough cookie. Just put dip it in some milk. I love that one.
Yeah. And I only throw in the conversation because like leadership is lonely. It is. If you're owning your own practice, you're trying to figure things out. It's tough. You feel like you have the whole world. And we're always looking for models or evidence or something that we can hold on to a little bit that'll go, hey, I'm going to try a little or think a little bit different as I look at this, but, tell me more. Like, I want to understand this middle part because you're the expert and you're a smart guy. Yeah. I'm not. That's why I ask you the question.
Nope. Whatever.
The hairy part, what else should we understand about this, you know, this peri-COVID part that would help me at least come to terms with where I'm at? And do we ever see, do you think we're ever going to see a post-COVID part?
Well, God, that's a loaded question. You know, you can ask Anthony Fauci that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's funny. The peri-COVID part of it is when we first started, and I was doing a lot of speaking to study clubs, etc., to figure out what the heck was going on, and I didn't know either. I was learning on the fly. It was quite. I felt it was quite stressful for me actually, because I didn't want to give people false information. And what I thought at that time was what you could take advantage of this forced time to reflect and think about how you want to be when you come back. And interestingly, although I know it's not about the money, but because a lot of practices, I'm guessing it's majority, meaning over 50%. Are right now in this peri-COVID time, they probably are, if they look at their checkbook pre-COVID and they look at their checkbook now, it's probably more now. And so they had this downtime where they had to think about it and the money came in from different ways. They had their AR, they were doing emergencies, they had PPP, they had EIDL, the accounts receivable kept coming in. And then when we came back, there was this backlog. And so in the end, they had more money. And so resources are important as well. But I thought to myself, this is your time to reinvent yourself, to think about what is important or what, like, when, you know, like I right now do all of the Essentials 4 workshops at Panky. So it's 4 of those a year. So it's the last of the continuum at Panky. And what we find is, have you really integrated what you learned at 1, 2, and 3? And where are your struggles to integrate it? So the long answer to your short question is, I think peri-COVID, the little hidden thing back here is it's your opportunity to say to your team and to your patients, I took some time to reflect, or I did some learning then, and now I really want to integrate it. And it's the time, and patients right now are told, everybody knows it's crazy. So you can say to them, we're shifting this a little bit. This is the way we're seeing new patients now. This is the way my schedule is. I'm looking at airway. I learned a little bit about airway So yes, I've never talked about it before, but I am right now, or nutrition or wellness or occlusion. It is your opportunity you have an excuse right now to say, I am looking at things differently and I want to integrate it. And it is working well. The schedules are weird. The patients are used to, you know, being rescheduled here and there. So you can change your schedule a little bit and make it more optimal for you. And I think that's the gift of this time. If you look at it that way, and if you do something intentional, and like you said, there's people out there who are like, are you kidding me? I'm still triple booked. I didn't have a hygienist come in. I'm still missing an assistant. I hear you and I'm with you. And we can talk, we can have excuses all day long, or we can say, I know all that's going on, but I still want to make this shift. I want to integrate airway more. I want to have my exams be a little more focused. I want my treatment planning to be more predictable. I want my assistant to be more in the co-discovery process with me. I mean, right. It's endless. It's endless. So that was a diatribe there. Sorry, I went off.
No, I absolutely love it, because what you're talking about there, you know, this was the perfect storm for this, even though we didn't ask for this storm, it was the time for a forced sabbatical for you to really think about what there was some stuff that you put up with prior to the pandemic that during the pandemic, you go, I'm done with that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And if there was ever a chance where you had somebody on the fence in your team and they weren't getting along, it was the perfect opportunity just to be nice about it and part your ways. Yep. Also, if you were smart enough, you realized that in the downtime, a lot of the things that you might have considered liabilities, they showed up. If you were a terrible leader, that showed up. If you were terrible with cash, that showed up. You think about this too. CE has never been more at our fingertips ever. I mean, you had CE at your fingertips galore. So it was the perfect time to re-engineer. And Kevin, gosh, we could go on for hours about the benefits of the benefits of the downtime and the peri-COVID's, part of our lives is discretionary cash in the United States. It seems like I've got dumpsters still on my street, all the way down to people redoing their kitchens and houses. And you can't get a person to fix a bathroom. I'm trying to get somebody to fix a washing machine, and it's like 7 weeks out. Like, are you kidding? You can't buy a 2x4. What's a piece of plywood cost now? You know, and people are refinancing their houses and like, wow, it's crazy. Or if you're selling your home, you're getting cash offers without even putting it on the market. So there's this false sense of security right now, which means it's go time for dentists because people think they got the money to spend. Yeah, so, I think this is a different storm. You got to take all these things that maybe aren't great, are great, and peri-COVID, like it is what it is, and be ready for anything that happens here in the future. I like what you're saying.
Think about the other gift right now is people are, you have no choice but to talk about health.
Yeah.
And early in COVID, it was, literally, how are you eating? Are you taking your vitamins? Are you saline your nose to keep the virus? Like, how is your health? Well, I mean, this has been an excuse for everybody I work with to say, you know what, we do have a different view of health. And when dentistry got shut down, I was so concerned because we consider ourselves so vital to health, and including, airway and nutrition and disease and infection. And so my goal is to help you move towards optimal health in a way that's appropriate for you. And maybe you're looking at that a little bit differently right now. And most people are going to say yes. And this is your excuse, again, to have the conversation that you used to have to find your way into, or used to have to force it a little bit. Now you're like, God, we're all talking about health. This is what I do for a living. And by the way, I know that you have discretionary income because I live down the street from you and I see you're doing your whole damn house. And I thought you were going to say you had two dumpsters down the street of cash. And I was going to say, all right, I got to come live with you. But
not quite. But or not at all. But I just think it's, the thing I love about this industry is dentists. What's really cool is while it might be challenging, it's hard to be a dentist. Let's not sugarcoat that.
Hard. Dentistry is hard.
It is hard. But at the same token, this is still the United States of America. Very few dentists ever go bankrupt or broke at the rate that people that own restaurants or large right. organizations are challenged with. You have the ability to pivot and do what you want to do right now. You know, you could thin your schedule to support you. We had dentists during, you know, now I'm going to just start calling it peri-COVID. During peri-COVID, who are like, I am just done with XYZ PPO. I don't even care anymore. I'm done. And then you'd see them 6 months later and like, it's crazy. I make more money now. I don't see as many patients. You know, so that's not really what this is about. It's really about making choices that support your vision for long term and what can you do in this opportunity. But Kevin, the reality of it is that we don't know how long this is going to last. And I don't even know that we should hypothesize about it other than just recognize and call it what it is, don't you think?
No. Shift. Shift and be and the good thing for dentistry is you can be nimble. So you can be ready to pivot. You know, I was having a conversation yesterday. Actually, it seems to be a trend this week about when do you hire or not hire an associate? And it's in when some people came back and they were so busy, and they're like, wow, I must need to have an associate. I'm like, or maybe this is your opportunity to close the filter a little bit and decrease your stress. I mean, either way is fine, but think about what the consequence is when you bring on an associate. Your stress level is probably going to go up, which is fine as long as you see the end, if that's what you want. But it's also your opportunity to refine the practice and have more of the people you want to work with. And by the way, I think either of those is fine. I just think you need to do it intentionally. People think, oh, I'm 6 weeks booked out, and my hygiene's booked out. I must need an associate. I'm like, I don't know. If you must need an associate, we better do some projections first and see what that looks like and how many days you need an associate and how many other team members you're going to have. And what is that going to look like for you? And that is right for some people. And for other people, it's, wow, I'm going to let Delta go. I'm going to refine. And there's still struggles there, as you know, there's plenty of struggles.
One thing I've learned for sure, getting an associate does not make your problems go away. As a matter of fact, you know, and we've always talked to you got to do it from a position of strength. You should be busting at the seams, not thinking, you see this too. You have dentists that are like, well, I've got about 1,100 active patients. I should probably get an associate. I said, no, you should probably get busy.
Get busy. Yeah, exactly. You know, you got the right amount.
Absolutely. So, you spoke about associate. Let's talk about the other side, because we do have a lot of dental students listening and a lot of people that are fresh out into the dental world and they've graduated and they had challenges trying to find jobs in big practices. We heard about this too. Dentists being let go because some of these big practices couldn't support them. What do you say? You know, what do you say to the young dentist who's listening right now about the peri-COVID opportunity for them?
Yeah, the young dentist right now is as the young dentist comes out of school, we know this, it's not everybody's story. And I know we generalize and I hate it just as much as you do. But we do know that the majority of dentists coming out, their mindset right now is, I need a job. I want a job. It's moving in the corporate direction and I need to pay off my debt. And we think to ourselves, no, don't take away private practice. Maybe you should just go into a bigger group or be an associate. And I hate to give advice. My conversation with new dentists, my questioning with new dentists is really more about what is appropriate for you. Think of what is it? Maybe for you, the appropriate next step is going into corporate dentistry. Fine. Is that a stepping stone? Is that going to lead you to something else? Or do you even know what's out there? And for some people, it is going to an associate. Some it is go ahead and buy a practice. But it is what is appropriate for you? Where is your energy? And also same as not let the default be scarcity mentality. So for me, it's not, I'm you know, you can edit this part out if you want. I'm not anti-corporate dentistry or DSO or large group practices. I think there's a it's a place for patients to get some healthcare. It's a place for people to have jobs. It's the appropriate job for some dentists, and good. And you may find out that it is for you, and you may find out it's not. So I'm there's a lot of good corporate practices or group practices that are also doing good dentistry because they're looking at them like a little study club, and they're learning together, growing together, integrating health center dentistry together. So what is appropriate for each new dentist? I know that's a cop-out answer, except it's a nice, if you find somebody to help facilitate that conversation for you or listen or help you listen to yourself, you're not stuck.
Absolutely. Not stuck. I love your answer. You know, I'm not anti-DSO either. I think, my answer is a little bit different than probably anybody else in the industry and probably opposite of many people in the industry. Young dentists ask me, well, where should I go? And I'm like, dude, where do you want to live? And they're like, well, that's not what I was thinking. I go, you got to figure out where you want to live, because if you're going to go to the middle of Kansas to choose an opportunity, you're going to hate it because you don't want to be there. And you use the word energy. I feel wherever you're at, and I talk to young dentists all the time that in the middle of this whole peri-COVID thing, they picked up and moved to where they wanted to go. And I'm like, hallelujah. And all of them are like, I'm where I want to be.
Brilliant.
When you are where you want to be, you're going to find, Kevin, what Kevin's talking about. You'll find an opportunity. And you know this, Kevin, a lot of fee-for-service dentists, they went into corporate dentistry and it was good for them because they learned speed, efficiency.
Oh, yeah.
And they learned all the things they hated.
Don't want to do. Exactly. Yeah.
I know a dentist takes 3 hours to do a crown. Might have been a good thing for him to go to a DSO because you can't do that in a DSO.
No. And the place, I'll have to piggyback on that. The where you want to live part. A couple of years ago, a dentist that I was working with, a client, was up in Anchorage, and he's been through the COIS continuum. He was, I think he was at one point a mentor faculty there, but just a very amazing, accomplished dentist. And it was fee for service in Anchorage and doing quite well. I mean, there was a reason I was working with him because dentistry is hard and everything else that goes with it. He calls me and says, I made a decision this weekend, and I'm thinking it's something about hiring or firing or, you know, whatever. And he goes, I'm selling my practice and moving to Michigan. And it's a little tiny town in Michigan. And it's with somebody who he knows way back from dental school, and he's just taking a risk. But he goes, that's where I want to raise my family. I mean, we thought it was Alaska. Anyway, long story short, we're still in contact. We talk regularly. Well, let me tell you, this man and his wife and kids, you see it in his body. You hear it in his voice. They are in heaven because he's living where he wants to live. And so you're right there. It's always, when we learn that in dental school, just, you know, go where you want to live. And it sounds far-fetched, but holy crap, Kirk, your advice is about as good as it gets, which is think about where you think the energy is going to be good and where you're going to want to live. And the odds are you're going to be a happy person. It'll work out.
Now, I know you're a happy person, but you got me beat in one respect. It takes you 9 minutes to cut your lawn, where it takes me 11 minutes to cut my lawn. So I got to work on some efficiency. But as I was, I've watched you do a lot of different great things, but I can see in your face, I can see that you're happy where you're at. And that goes, that speaks volumes. There's nothing better than being where you know you should be. And I promise you, if you're listening right now, you work hard enough, knock on enough doors, you're going to find an opportunity within driving distance of where you want to be so you can enjoy what you want to do. Would you agree, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're going to have the one story, right? But the odds are so in your favor to go explore where you think you want to live. Imagine yourself living there. Walk around, like you said, knock on doors. There's going to be a dentist who is like, gosh, I was thinking about it, or an associateship, or you're going to realize, you know what, I can start, believe it or not, in 2021, 2022, even peri-pandemic, you can still start from scratch if you want. It is, but you'll find it when you go there, right? You'll figure it out.
Exactly. And you know, mentors don't just show up at your door and go, "Hey, I've been watching you, kid. Let me help you." And I learned this from the guys and gals that came before me, and a lot of them that were moving to New York City. One of the greatest things you guys can do, if you're young and listening to this right now, is just knock on doors and say, "I hear you're one of the best. Can I come watch you?" You know what every dentist is going to say? "Come on in." And then ask them enough questions like, "How did you build this thing? Where did you go?" Like, how they'll start to think, "This kid's really curious about how to do this." And they'll take a vested interest. And you can do that almost anywhere. This opportunity right now in dentistry, whether you have a practice, you're looking for a practice, you're a dentist rethinking, there's a lot of opportunity. You just got to find it. With every adversity comes opportunity. Your challenge is to figure out what it is.
Yeah. I like it. It goes back to your three P's.
Absolutely.
You know, go for purpose and go for a little bit of progress. And now what was the first P? Because that was the one I was about to hit on.
Well, you know this better than anyone. I mean, you can get the first.
Predictability.
Sorry. So you can get purpose and progress. But if you're going to do restorative dentistry, you need insane levels of predictability. Yeah. You can't deal with the slightest lack of predictability. No. Lack of predictability comes up in the forms of patients not paying, patients not showing up, team members not showing up, dentistry not fitting, lab cases not coming back. You know, systems not being put in place where things are happening different for every procedure. We could go on and on and on about that. But the more you can push, you know, turn the dial on all three of those, it just becomes an awesome thing. Kevin, any last words? Like I could keep you all day on this subject, but we're talking about the peri-COVID thing. Any thoughts about dentistry, where we're at and looking forward?
You know, I think it's just a reiteration of hope. You know, when we talk to our patients who they think that they could never chew again, or they think they could never be out of pain, they think the headaches will never go away, they think they're never going to sleep well again, all of the things, sometimes what we do is we just offer them hope. We're in it with them. And that is the beginning of small change. And for me, that's what I hope we do for you, for dentists, what you and I, Kirk, do for dentists. And but they believe it just like we want our patients to believe it, is to just a little sense of hope gives you energy and gets you out of scarcity mentality and into a little bit of abundance mentality. But it does take some intentional effort. What do you want your office to look like? How do you want to feel when you walk in? And how do you want to feel when you walk out? And what are the small shifts that need to happen to help you move in that direction? And predictability is part of that. So pick some small parts of your day or of a procedure. Pick something small and think to yourself, what does optimal look like for me for that small little chunk of my day or that appointment? And then work with your team to create optimal for that, because then it's going to connect to another piece of optimal and another piece of optimal. But if you don't know what optimal looks like, it's hard to move in that direction. And if you don't have a little hope, it's hard to find the energy. So I'm quite long-winded today with you for some reason, Kirk, but that's, I think there's just a lot going on, but that would be it for me.
I love all of your wisdom, and I always enjoy every minute I get with you. And I know we could open this up into a bunch of other facets, and we'll continue to do that on future podcasts. But Kevin, if somebody's listening right now and they want to figure out more of what you do, like, you know, come see you speak, how do I find you? How do I follow you? How do I find out more about what you do?
I'm still somewhat old school. I do have a Instagram, K-Squared Facilitation and Dental Education. And I do have, that is on Instagram, and I do have a Facebook page. And you can always just go to my Kevin Quetian's Facebook page. That might be easier than K-Squared Facilitation. Or I have a website. I'm just the old school. Go to the website and click on message me and I'm there. But my why in life is to contribute. And when I'm not contributing to something like your podcast or somebody's life, my soul's not being fed. So I'm out there, and I'm happy to to do whatever makes sense to help people live a happier life, especially dentists and dental teams. So Amen, thank you for asking. Thank you very much for asking that, by the way.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and you are certainly living your why. So I'm proud to call you my friend, and
you too.
I'd love to do many more of these just to keep the conversation going, inspire the whole generation of dentists in front of us, behind us, with us, or Perry with us. I mean, now I'm going to use a whole new framework. I'm talking
about it. Well, we are Perry. We're Perry Friendship right now, there by the go. Way. And hopefully we're never post-friendship, because I appreciate as we continue to get to know each other, and I watch you closely, as you know, and I admire everything you do and your positive impact you have on people. So, because I've watched you in a lot of rooms also, as you know, and so people that work with you are quite lucky.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. Feelings mutual. Yeah. And so I want you guys to do this. If you're listening today, you enjoyed it, do us a favor, hit the share button, share this podcast with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to hear from Kevin. I'll have him back and we'll ask him the tough questions. That's why this format works so well. I can just ask the experts what the real answers to these big questions we have in life. And until we see you guys or hear from you guys next time, do us a favor, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.